is Digital Marketer. Today, it's Jeff McPherson from Direct Heroes.
Hello, and welcome to the Digital Marketer Podcast. My name is Jenna Stavely, and I'm your co-host. And today, we're talking with Jeff McPherson of Direct Heroes. What is Direct Heroes, you may be asking? Well, if you were listening to our podcast episode with Natasha Takahashi, Direct Heroes is the next wave of the future direct message automation on Instagram. This is huge for marketing, and I'm really excited to share this conversation that we had. Jeff and Direct Heroes has been featured on Entrepreneur, Influencive, Marketing School, and now the Digital Marketer Podcast. So without further ado, here's my interview with Jeff. First of all, Jeff, Direct Heroes, Jeff McPherson, right? Not McPherson.
McPherson. It's like the tomato, tomato thing.
Just whatever you decide.
Yeah, whatever people call me. I'm not too picky.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll call you Jefe.
It's actually funny. JK. Some people call me LDM Jefe.
Oh, really? Yeah. LDM Jefe.
The direct message boss.
I love that. It's accurate, too.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about Direct Heroes. How did marketing DM lists come about in your life?
6 years ago, I started an e-commerce brand. And when I actually brought all the product in, because I had manufacturers overseas in China. So when I brought the product in, I had 10,000 pieces of inventory sitting in my basement and actually didn't know how to market. So I jumped onto Instagram, just knowing that as a platform that was really good for showing a product and getting it into people's hands. And that's really where my marketing, I guess, career started. I was trading product for actual shout outs on the page. So I was super fortunate that it was a niche product and it ended up taking off for me. But my direct messagings actually kind of blew up. I ended up selling that company off and getting more into digital products just because it's just where I wanted to be. Got into some affiliate things. But fast forward a couple years, I got into an Instagram growth tool. And this was a few years ago when it was kind of a real big hype. And it had a direct message tool part of it. But where my head was at was like, it'd be really cool if there was that 7 touch point follow up every single day to then potentially sell them something on the back end. From there, it's just like we were developing it out and we were seeing conversation back and forth. And then we also didn't want to spam people for 7 days if they hadn't seen messages. And then this is when, I guess, direct message conversations and on the automation side started to really take off on the Facebook and on Messenger. So we kind of just followed the trends that they were growing and kind of didn't reinvent the wheel, just followed the trends that were happening and continued to evolve from there. And then we're diving into a lot of the, I guess, CRM side. And just, we just really want to know like the engagement behind a subscriber itself. So we can really start interacting on a personal one-on-one level with the consumer of the Instagram account. So that's where kind of the list building came in and getting people in, because once we know how people engage and all that stuff, then we can set up engaging marketing campaigns or exclusive content or exclusive offers to people that is from that list that we all know is super valuable to our businesses on Facebook, on email, all that stuff, just because it's just direct to consumer.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you don't have a marketing background. You kind of had to learn everything the hard way, just taking like best practices and going forward. What were some of the like hardest things you learned along the way?
Fail fast is a big one. Yeah, no. So I didn't go to school for any marketing, any of that, any of that actually. So like what it did is just kind of, I was interested in doing this. I like working with people. I like the creative side, brand building. So just like failing fast, just, and then asking questions that you might not necessarily know. There is people out there to help. So I'm super fortunate enough that I have a great business partner who was a mentor to me before he joined the actual company itself. So it's just like that, and just making connections, asking questions where you actually need the help. And then from there, filling in voids where you might not be an expert in, where somebody else can be to grow your business. And I think that's how majority of businesses grow. And that's when you can really take your business to that next level.
Yeah, that makes sense. So on the topic of Direct Heroes, it's not currently open to the public, but there is an application process. So when you're building out, automations, is that something that you take a personal hand in, or do you have a team that does it, or is it just kind of a basic template? Like, how does that all work within Direct Heroes?
So over the last 2.5 years, when we first started developing it, I have personally worked with every single person that has used the platform.
Holy crap.
We've kept it super exclusive because we wanted to build out a platform that users wanted, not necessarily that we think that people need. We've been super fortunate that we've been able to work with people with millions of followers, verified accounts, big brands, big businesses from all over the world. At the end of the day, how I looked at it was the customer of ours isn't necessarily the client or the person that uses Direct Hero specifically. It's the end user, because the more that the follower, the user on that business interacts with your profile and your direct messages and spends time with you, the longer you're going to spend with me. So I reverse engineered it right down to the business's strategy side and kind of worked it through. And I worked with anybody in any niche because, again, building the company for everybody, I wanted anybody in any niche, any business, any level of their business as well, not necessarily people with a million followers or big, massive business. I wanted to have smaller micro influencers, people with less than 1,000 followers, be able to join, run ads, and have success with the tool. So yeah, we have the application process now. We're definitely going to open it up, and hopefully in the very near future, where anybody can join and have that success.
That's super exciting. So you have an application process, but at the same time, you're probably going after specific people, specific companies, that kind of thing. Do you get pushback at all from people that don't think there's a business case for Instagram messaging and direct messaging?
There's always going to be those people for sure, no matter what business it is or what platform it's on. Again, we've been super fortunate just to kind of stay way ahead of the trend in the relationships that we have. Like, we have some pretty big networks both off and on Instagram. And every single month we're speaking to someone bigger, the bigger businesses, the bigger accounts, and so on and so forth. So a lot of our businesses came from referrals. And that's not just like, hey, bring me someone, I pay you type of referrals. It's just like, because I spend so much time as, I guess, that account manager, the support system, the strategy, all that behind it, building the campaigns out, I've built partnerships, relationships with these people that are going to go longer than the actual tool itself. Is kind of how I've been able to get it to the point that it's at. So yeah, I've reached out to people that I think could benefit from it, just because I actually just watch what people do. And I just like, okay, well, let's take what you're doing and automate it a bit and then scale it to the next point of your business. Some people, there's backlashes, like, or they don't respond and stuff like that. And again, when we first started, I do a lot of things in behind the scenes. I'm not that forefront kind of guy, obviously coming out of the shell a little bit, but again, every single month, every single year, it's just like you're having conversations with bigger and bigger people, which is fantastic because the brand's getting out there and we've been able to build it with zero funding and zero marketing spend. So it just kind of shows you that there's a market for it, and that when people join and people work with me and the team, they stay.
Mm-hmm. So it says that you guys hit 1 million DMs sent, which is huge.
A lot of DMs.
Yeah, that is a lot of DMs. Your thumbs must be really pained.
Yeah. Well, fortunately enough, I don't actually have to type them myself.
So yeah, I'd love to know just kind of what are some things, strategies you've learned that are working. Like, what do these automations look like? What might they be responding to? And what does that response look like inside of Instagram?
So the way I explain it, I guess, on these phone calls that I have with businesses every single day, and we're just about to surpass 1.5 million, which is great. So that's been in the last couple of weeks itself. So we're growing really fast, and so are the businesses that are using it. But I explain it in a way where it's not necessarily like a full-on conversation. It's more of a conversational funnel that's automated. So we're taking time out of people's day to direct message us and go through some sort of flow, some sort of, I guess, conversational funnel. So by incentivizing people to do so, and a lot of people are doing this with, or still do it with, funnels nowadays that are on the web. It's like, opt in, give me your email, and I'll send you this PDF. So that's kind of the example that I use. And then they go through a series of upsells, downsells, and at the end of the day, they get to an offer. But this way, it's like, let's give them an offer, have them opt into us, send them through a series of questions or engaging sort of content. And then once they go through that, just give them what they actually asked for. Instead of taking 30 days to give it to them, unless you're doing like a 30-day challenge, which we've set up as well. But that's more on the engaging side. So if you're taking time out of people's day, incentivizing them to work with you is the big thing. And then people want something in return. And when they want it now.
Yeah. What do some of those offers look like? Are they kind of smaller ticket? Or are they like kind of informational, educational?
It really just depends on the business itself. Like e-commerce, you could give away a promo code or like a discount, free shipping, whatever that may be.
Yeah, so these are...
Yeah, if you're doing, if you're a consultant, they're lead magnets. That's exactly what they are. So like a free phone call, 15-minute consulting call. In real estate, you could do like a free portfolio, get a portfolio of all my stuff, all my houses that I've sold, so on and so forth. Like an influencer itself could have exclusive content through their direct messaging if they don't necessarily have an offer that they want to sell. They just want to keep it super engaged. It's like, well, direct message me and then you'll be in a direct message subscriber list where you're going to get exclusive content from me for however long you want to set it up for. So again, the way that I've always had these phone calls with, and again, I've been able to keep it exclusive by just working with businesses that we could focus on what they have and expanding it to the new heights. I also never limited who I was working with in terms of what business they had, because I wanted to work with as many different businesses as possible and different brands, different influencers, all that stuff, because that's going to build a platform that anybody can use. Like, for example, we've worked with podcasts, music artists. Like we literally work with everybody, people that don't necessarily even sell anything, which is great.
Yeah.
So it's really just, how can you separate yourself, create pattern interruption in all that noise out there? And this is what we teach people.
Yeah, that makes sense. Is there anything that makes it difficult to do this on Instagram that you are kind of working around with your company? Any kind of regulations or rules that they might have that people need to be aware of?
So we are a third-party application. From the rumors that are out there, they're in the process of direct message automation on the platform itself. When that will come, who knows? Again, there's rumors out there, as you have sources, all that fun stuff. But again, nothing super official. So again, in the beginning, it was really tough because people were like, we don't know who you are. We don't know who your brand is, all that stuff. But like, again, as the months went on, we built the relationships with people. We really worked with them. We haven't ran into any of those issues in a really long time, which has been super fortunate to us.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's good. Even with Facebook's regulations on Messenger, it can make it really complicated for marketers to get their message out there, even if someone is inside the DMs trying to get acquainted or get to know them or accept an offer. You know, there's a lot of things that can...
We, like everybody that we work with, same things like Messenger. We follow the same guidelines that the Messenger and Facebook allow. So we don't do anything that's not allowed.
Right. So people can have comfort that...
Exactly. We never built this to spam people. Like, we built it as an engaging platform. We want to build brands on Instagram because we can take them to email lists or to messenger lists. And that's where you can do hard selling if you want. But on Instagram, it's very engaging. It's a very visual profile. So we want to keep it that way.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people leaving Facebook. So I feel like Instagram is kind of one of the safer places for marketers to get their message out. And it's an overwhelmingly positive space. Do you find that that's true with the way you're interacting with people through DM?
I think, and again, this is just from what we've seen in the market, all that stuff. Facebook is not like is good, but it depends on the demographic and the business for sure. That doesn't mean that any business on Facebook can't be on Instagram and vice versa. It's just kind of how your internal team wants to set it up. Again, like Instagram is very visual. So when we work with people, and because we're going to get into live webinars and all that stuff as well, so we can kind of just over deliver on a tool that they're going to have success with, is when you're posting content, you don't want to sell on the content either. You want to show them the visuals behind what the brand actually is. And then with Instagram stories, really show them the behind the scenes on the day to day to really build that personal touch. And then with theirs, like Instagram stories is a really scalable tool for us to have people opt into the actual campaigns itself. And that's just kind of the way we've been able to, again, build what we have and have success with the businesses that we're working with.
Yeah. How often do you recommend running a single campaign? So, you know, the same CTA, the same offer?
That's a big question that everybody always asks me. To me, everybody that I've worked with, the way we've started is, okay, your followers are your followers. They're not mine. And Instagram has things in place where you can learn more about them. So what we actually do is we dive into the account itself and figure out what people want from you and how often they want it. Because they'll tell you. You use Instagram stories or interactive stickers. You could literally ask them a question. Do you want this offer? If I provided you with this, would you want it? And they'll tell you yes or no. Or you can ask them questions. Same thing. People will tell you what they want. And that's kind of how we've taught people to kind of use the platform itself in terms of we try and set up the same sort of concept of, let's say, funnels on the web. It's just like set up an evergreen sort of funnel where you can just run traffic to. You can run paid traffic to, which you can grow your account from outside of actual Instagram itself. You don't need to have a following to have success with Direct Heroes. So with there, you've got something evergreen that's going all the time. Then you optimize it and you scale from there. And then additionally, when you have different promos, different offers, stuff like that, you can set up different campaigns and do one-off pushes. Because people, if they've opted in and they're seeing the same promo for the same evergreen, won't get annoyed. But people will get annoyed when it's just something every single day where you're trying to sell every single day. Again, why it's just like, let's have a conversational funnel where it's something evergreen, where we can continue to send people through what you have success with, where we can optimize, where we can scale. From there, you set up the one-off promos and engagement to then when new things get implemented into your business, you're having additional success with what we've already created.
That makes so much sense. Yeah. So just to clarify for everyone listening, is this a list of hyper-engaged customers on your Instagram, or are you also driving them to an email list?
Yeah. So again, same things, like everything that we've worked with, it's like, yes, Instagram is a very valuable asset to have a list there because they're engaged to your business. They're on your Instagram profile. They're seeing your content when you're pushing it, whenever it may be, every single day, again. But no, we want to take people off, put them on your email list, put them on Facebook, put them on all the different social channels and everything that you can actually get them on. Because if for some reason Instagram goes down, then you've got them other places. So, and this was a big thing for me in the beginning because a lot of influencers that we started working out with at the beginning, they've got millions and millions of followers. First of all, they can't contact all of them because it's just not possible. And from there, it's just, okay, if Instagram goes down, so does their business. Like they haven't built their email list. They haven't built their messenger list. They haven't got people subscribed to their YouTube channel or a podcast. Just like take that asset that you already have, that following, and move them to different places. And it's the same thing as like on Facebook or on email lists. Like, yeah, email lists are super valuable for all of our businesses, but take that email list you already have and drive them to your Instagram page and start growing a brand in a different way and getting your content out there. Messenger, you've got a list there, send them there. You're on YouTube, get them to Instagram, same thing. So it's just cross promotion with having, and Gary Vaynerchuk, I follow all the time. He's really good at this. He distributes different content in a different way on every channel. So you see similarities within his content, but it's delivered in a different way.
Yeah. And it's kind of just meeting you wherever you
exactly.
want to be.
Because some people might want to listen to a podcast while they're driving. And then at home, they want to listen to YouTube. And then they're scrolling through Instagram and they just want to see and engage in content. But on email, they want to be sold something. Like the people know their business the best and the users behind it, but definitely utilizing every single channel and having the cross promotion between all of them.
Yeah. Also, I feel like you just described literally exactly what I like to do on every platform. I like to buy on email, surf on Instagram, listen at YouTube at home. That's so funny. What do you think is kind of the future of Instagram marketing?
I think Instagram as a platform is still untouched. There's a lot of people that don't know how to market on Instagram because it definitely, there was a lot of early adopters that were able to kind of stay ahead and get that huge push of followers. And then people join it now and a lot of people steer clear of it because it's really tough to actually get going on it because you've got to push content all the time. So again, with Direct Heroes, what we're able to do is if you had less than 100 followers on your account, and you created a really beautiful profile, let's call it your homepage of your website. Then you set up creative, really engaging creative, and then you have people direct message you to that creative. Now you take them through a series of funnels that you then give them your offer. So you're creating that. You don't actually need a massive following. You need to be able to set up creative, run ads to a page with an offer at the end that people want. That is where Instagram's going on marketing because we're going to give people the ability to jump on the platform and have success at any point of their business or Instagram.
It's its own little ecosystem.
It's exactly what it is. And you're delivering content in a different way that's never been done before. So it's going to really change the way people market. And it's going to give, in any platform or any tool or any service, the early adopters that head start against everybody else. Because there's always people who's like, that doesn't work, doesn't work, that doesn't work. And then 6 months down the road, like, now it's something. I need to jump on. And then they're behind the early adopters. Just kind of keeping that open mind behind it. And that's why when we work with everybody, we have phone calls, we do podcasts, stuff like that. It's like the possibilities are endless. Our only limitation is our own creativity.
Yeah. Speaking of the creative part, is there any kind of business that has really surprised you with its ability to gain followers and be creative? And is there anyone that you think, no matter like what they do, it's always going to be right because people on Instagram love that type of business?
There's definitely two sides of it. People have influence and they don't care what people push. They'll just love it. Somebody who I really love the way that he pushes content is Jay Shetty, because what he does is he actually asks a series of questions. So this is how he delivers people to his podcast. And Jay Shetty, if you're listening, love to work with you. So he goes, do you feel like this today? Yes or no? Have you done this in the last 7 days? Yes or no? And then there's one more question, yes or no. Those are micro commitments into his actual, what he's about to deliver. And it's like, if you've answered yes to any of the questions, swipe up to listen to my podcast. So it's just like, you're making people commit to your actual content. And that's where it's good. There's a lot of people, and I've seen Dean, Russell, and Tony with their big launch that they had. It's just like, shake hands with us to receive this offer or something that I can't remember off the top of my head. And the actual image itself is like a hand shaking. So when you go to swipe on it, it looks like you're swiping your hand and shaking hands with them. So it's just like when you're creating, it's like same thing. You're taking time out of people's day and there's a lot of noise out there. How can you separate yourself? Well, have people engage with your creative and then that'll stop them. That's a micro commitment into your business already.
Yeah. I love that. Were you always an entrepreneur type or did you think you would be doing this?
So I ran my first business in high school. It was through the summers. I had other jobs before that, but I ran a landscape company through the summers.
That feels like a classic entrepreneur start.
So my dad builds homes. So he's an entrepreneur. He's had his own business for a long time. My uncle, same thing. My aunt had her own TV show. My mom's always done things. So like there's in the family for sure, which is a big thing for, I guess, entrepreneurs or people who want to start a business is a support system. So I've been super fortunate to have that support system there. But I ran my first business in high school, landscape company. I ended up working like 80 hours the whole summer. I did like three or four jobs. And I made four times as much as everybody else. And I made my own schedule doing it. So it's like, yes, I like this because I've got my own freedom. I can work when I want as long as the customers are happy. From there, it's like I moved away when I was 16 to play junior hockey. So it's like I was kind of in a business world from a really young age because you're always selling yourself to kind of get to that next level. So I was able to play. I played varsity right to university. And then from there, when I left that, I was working for my dad in like a management position. So I was managing a condo claim in Toronto. And again, it was just like, I like to manage. I like to work with people. I knew it was in me. It just like, what was that kind of aha moment to kind of just take that leap? And because like I never ended up going to university, I took my university money and I trained my brain. It was like, I'm going to take my university money and invest it into a business. Because people are investing into their school and then they come out and they've got to get a job. I'm just going to kind of expedite that process and try and create something that I want long term. So I just trained my own brain to look at life and money in a different way. But no, I guess being an entrepreneur has been in my family, in my blood, my whole life. And again, the support system is a big thing.
Yeah, I feel like on my end, my family is very diligent and my dad has a corporate background. So it's a little different. It's a different way to grow up and look at things, I'm sure. Brad Martineau described it as realizing the walls are foil, made of aluminum foil. You can just break down every barrier you thought you had.
Yep. If it doesn't scare you, you're not in the right position, I don't think.
What was that e-commerce business? What were you selling?
Smartphone cases. So typical Canadian, It was a smartphone case that it had hockey laces on the back, real hockey laces.
Oh my
gosh. But it held cards in behind. So again, it was super niche. I was very well connected in the hockey world. And I went retail, online, and distribution within 3 weeks globally. Hmm. With no marketing background.
Oh my gosh. And no marketing background.
So I was just kind of, I just had a good product. Oh my gosh. And I was just thrown into the dragon's den. I just didn't have a choice but to make it work. Which is good. I like that position. I prefer to be in that position because I'm the type of person that don't like to let people down. So say if I have something for somebody, I want to over deliver to them no matter what they're asking for.
Yeah. Like DMs. On Instagram.
Like DMs on Instagram.
So what do you find is the number one misconception about Direct Heroes and chatbots and Instagram and all kind, you know, all the stuff you do? What's the number one misconception people have?
I think people really think that, like, people don't want to speak to automation. People don't think that automation's good and businesses don't need it. Automation is good for your business, but automation, completely automating your business, is not good. There still needs to be human interaction. So when people look at it or hear it, it's like, no, don't want to automate my business because it's just people don't want it. Yes, people do. People don't want to wait 4 days to receive an offer from you either.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's why things are put into place, because there needs to be some scalability behind the business. And again, we're like, it's a busy world. Everybody's got busy lives. People are impatient because it's like you're sitting at your computer and it takes your computer 10 seconds to load. You're annoyed. People want it. People want things now. So if you're providing something to somebody and they want it now. So give it to them. But then have a human touch afterwards. And that's what we're focused on. Support and live chat as well. We don't take away from that at all.
No. I think that's awesome. Before I get to all the, like, where can people find you stuff, this is one question that we ask every guest. And I don't know how old you are, so I'm just going to say it and you can say your answer. So if you had to go back in time and tell 25-year-old Jeff anything at all, what would you tell him?
Well, that was only a year ago.
Then 19-year-old Jeff, hockey lace phone
lace Jeff. Case Jeff.
Lace case, yeah.
19 years old. I think people regret too much. That's a big thing. Like, I look back at when I was 19 and would I do things differently now? Yeah, absolutely. But people also mature. So it's, again, it's one of those things, just like, would I have changed anything I've done? No, I don't think I actually would have, because I'm in this position now because what I did do. There's other people that regret things that they did because where they're at, they're not in a happy spot. But that doesn't mean that point in time could have changed where you are now. It's like, okay, well, now you know that that's not where you want to be. Change where you are now, so in 5 years you can be where you want to be. It's just like, you're always in a position. It's like, even if you can look back and be like, okay, I did that at 19, and because I'm here now, it's because I did something at 19. Yes, maybe. I think that's more like a what if question. What if I did this? Well, what if you didn't? It's kind of a tough question to answer because it could go either way. But it's just like, no, you're in a position now because what you did in the past. And if you're not where you want to be, change where you want to be now, so in 5, 10, 15 years, you can be where you want to be.
Yeah. And maybe that regret is the reason that you're going to be successful in a few years.
Could be. Yeah. Absolutely could be.
Cool. Yeah. I love that. Well, Jeff, where can people find out more about you? And what do you recommend for if they want to apply to be a part of Direct Heroes?
Well, depending on when this podcast goes live, hopefully we're mainstream by then. So hopefully you can just head to directheroes.com. And if we're mainstream then, great. Happy to have you with us and have some success on Instagram. Email is hello@directheroes.com. Our Instagram account, direct.heroes, H-E-R-O-E-S, not O-S, which is
Heroes.
Heroes. And we're super excited for what we're doing and how we're doing it, and really excited to be able to provide it to everybody to kind of help their businesses get to that next level.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me. No, it was fun.
I appreciate it. Yeah, learned a lot. Well, to everyone out there, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you same time, same place next week. Bye.
Hey, DM listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up. Because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and three unique design themes for each holiday. The promo pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.